here last Sunday and you saw our church play Choices, you heard a lot about making choices. And today I'm going to focus on one verse that came out of that play. Because at the end of the first scene, we had Joshua come out to reenact this scene from the very end of the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. At the end of Joshua, when the people of Israel had received the land, the promised land that the Lord had given them, when they had defeated all of their enemies, when the land was theirs, Joshua called the entire nation together at a place called Shechem. And there he renewed from the people their covenant relationship with God. And Joshua said some very powerful and important things to the people of Israel. He first reminded them that it was the Lord God who had brought them into this land, this wonderful land, as he says, that was flowing with milk and honey. And then he cautioned the people, and he reminded them that they had an all-important choice to make. A big decision was coming, but before they made the decision, Joshua took them back. He reviewed for them their history, and he shared with them everything that the Lord had done for them. He took them back and reminded them of how God had called Abraham, this man who didn't know the Lord, this man who had no children, and promised him that he would be the ancestor of a great nation, and his ancestors would one day possess this land. He reminded the people of Israel of how the Lord had saved them, how the Lord had freed them from slavery in Egypt and delivered them at the Red Sea. Joshua reminded the people how the Lord had fought all the battles in Canaan, including the great battle at Jericho. It was the Lord who had given the people this land. And he said to the people this powerful verse. He reminded them that the Lord gave them the land in which they were living. It was a land with cities they did not build, with orchards and vineyards they did not plant. And Joshua told the people to revere the Lord. And notice how he says it. They are to revere the Lord with sincerity and faithfulness, and put away all the false gods their ancestors had worshipped in Mesopotamia and Egypt. And then he says this. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. This is my text for today, these words. And I want to take you through this short half of a sentence, word by word, phrase by phrase, to help us all, I pray, gain new biblical insights on how we can make godly choices. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose! Choose. We all face choices in our lives. We have big choices in our lives. We have little choices of our lives. Every day, I have a choice. What will I have for breakfast? Well, it's not a difficult choice because every day, I have the same thing for breakfast. Toast and chocolate milk. I have since I was a kid, okay? Some guys just never grow up. We have little choices like what color socks will I wear, but I only own three kinds of socks, folks, and usually it's not too difficult. But we also face big choices, important choices in our life. Our daughter Hannah graduates from UW-Milwaukee in 2 months. She's got a few big choices to face, doesn't she? A choice is a decision to make. We all choose to make decisions. The very first decision in the history of the Bible is the decision Adam and Eve make in the garden. And we remember last week from the play how they botched that decision. When we make a decision, we weigh things out. We weigh the pros and the cons. We weigh the pluses and the minuses. And even if you're a teenager who says, well, why did you do that? And they answer, well, I don't know. I wasn't thinking. Of course they were thinking. Of course they were weighing it out. Because you see, the decision-making process is like a potter. A potter takes that lump of clay, puts it on the wheel, and molds it and shapes it. We all have thought and decision-making processes which mold and shape who we are and how we act. And some of those are good and some of them are bad. As God's people, when you and I are called to choose, we are always wise to do what Joshua did with the people of Israel, to say we need to review, to go through and remember everything the Lord has done for us so that we have a good basis for our choices. Choose this day. It's a simple fact. Choices are made in the present. We can make choices for the future, but they have to be made in the present moment. That is simply how choices are made. Like the potter again. Everything about us goes into helping us mold and shape the process, the choices we will make today. You and I, we are the product of our choices. Remember the wonderful movie Freaky Friday? This was the remake with Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis. And there's that wonderful scene where Lindsay Lohan, the 15-year-old teenager, gets out of the car at school, and Mom, who's a television psychologist, yells out of the car window in a voice sure to embarrass her daughter in front of everyone at school, "Make good choices!" Well, you know what? We need to make sure we make good choices. And the very sad thing about our lives is one bad choice can ruin our lives. This is Pastor Bruce Burnside. He actually served my father 40-some years ago, as a youth worker in Eau Claire. He became a Lutheran pastor. He ordained my nephew, Nicholas. In fact, he was Nicholas's pastoral partner for many years down in Milwaukee in the Madison area. He was elected bishop of the South Central Synod of our ELCA a few years ago. A wonderful, God-fearing man, a loving, caring man who made one terrible choice in his life. He tragically lost his wife, and that threw him into a deep depression. And on a Sunday a couple of years ago, when he was scheduled to go to a church to spend the afternoon at a church on a Sunday afternoon, he had a few drinks before he left. And on the way to the church, he hit and he killed a woman who was jogging. And now he's in prison for 10 years. A wonderful man who made a terrible, terrible choice. We need to remember that. We also need to remember that a choice can be a wonderful, life-changing thing. This is Lenny Skutnik. Now, probably not a whole lot of people today remember Lenny Skutnik, but he was a guest at President Reagan's State of the Union address in January of 1982. Because 2 weeks before the President's State of the Union address, a jetliner crashed in the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. on a freezing January morning. And there were only 4 survivors, and they clung to the wreckage of the airliner in the middle of the river. And one of them was the flight attendant, and a helicopter swooped out low over the river to try and rescue her, and she grabbed hold of a life preserver that they hung down from the helicopter, and she was being dragged toward the shore when she was just so numb she lost her grip. And Lenny Skutnik, who was standing on the shore watching all of this, a government employee on his lunch break, made an amazing, fateful decision. He jumped into the freezing cold waters of the Potomac, and he swam out, and he rescued this woman. Talk about a decision that changes a life. Decisions can be little deals, but decisions and choices can also be big deals. And we need to always keep that in mind as we today decide, how will I make the choices I need to make? Choose this day whom. If you remember your high school English, whom, a direct object. There are those for whom we act. There are those things and people who have an influence over us. Choices are never made in a vacuum. We have people, things, ideas that influence and shape us. Joshua told the people of Israel, "You have to choose whom it is you will serve, and it cannot be the false gods of the Canaanites, and it cannot be the false gods of Egypt." Jesus says we need to choose whom we will serve, and to Jesus, the number one opposition to the Lord is being in love with money. I love this little quote I came across as I was working on my sermon. You can't walk with God holding hands with the devil. Jesus says very plainly in the Gospels, "You're either with me or you're against me. There's no neutrality in this walk of life." Martin Luther reminds us his definition of a God. That to which our heart clings and entrusts itself is our God. We must choose whom it is we worship. Who is our God? And as God's people, as Christians, we know who our God is and what our God has done for us. Choose this day whom you will serve. It's important for us to remember we make our own choices. Sometimes we may think people are forcing or making us to, but we make our own choices. As I said, the very first choice in the Bible was the choice Adam and Eve made in the garden. They made the wrong choice. And if you were here last week and you saw the play, you notice how did Adam and Eve react when God asked them, "Did you eat the fruit?" Adam said, "The woman made me." And then he said, "The woman you gave me, God, made me." And Eve blamed the serpent. They blamed everyone but themselves. Joshua told the people of Israel on that day 3,000 years ago at Shechem, "Choose this day whom you will serve." It was a corporate you. It was the entire nation they need to make that choice. Jesus, when he was being tempted in the wilderness by the devil, "If you are the Son of God," he had to make those godly choices, which he did make. We are responsible for our choices. We need to remember that in our lives. It's a lesson we all have to learn. Some people are good at learning it, and they make great choices. Some of us, we've made really bad choices in our lives, but we hope we have learned from them. And some people just keep making bad choice after bad choice after bad choice. Some of us are old enough to remember Flip Wilson, the comedian back in the 1970s, and his great line, "The devil made me do it." Don't we love to say that? "It's not my fault, the devil made me do it." But God's answer is, "No, I don't think so. I don't think so." Our choices are our own. Choose this day whom you will serve. A verb, an intent, an action. We are called as God's people to understand that our intents lead to actions, and actions lead to results. They are all connected. When the Apostle Paul's writing to the ancient Corinthian Christians about that offering he's collecting, Corinthians seems like they weren't overly enthusiastic about giving money to help other people they didn't know. Paul reminded them of the Christians in Macedonia, the poor Christians in Macedonia, and he talked about their intent as he declares that these people were giving not reluctantly or under compulsion, but they were giving cheerfully. Our will, our intent, leads, it shapes, it molds how we act. And here's what I want you to remember from my sermon today, along with the half a verse. I want you to remember this, that every decision we make is an act of worship. Now think about that. Think about it. If we viewed every decision we make as an act of worshiping God, how different would our lives be? If the way I do my job today is an act of worshiping God, how would I do my job differently? There's a wonderful story about Martin Luther. Don't know if it's true or not, but his housekeeper had become a Christian, and Luther asked her, "Well, what's different about you now as a housekeeper that you're a Christian?" And she said, "Now I sweep under the rugs. I do my job a little better." How would you relate to your family differently if every relationship with your family was seen as an act of worship? How will you spend your time? How will you spend your money? How will you go about making the choices in your life, little ones and big ones, if every act, every choice, is seen as an act of worship? We must also remember that the word will can be a noun. And as God's people, we are called to be those who always act in accordance, who decide in accordance, who make choices in accordance with God's holy will. That is what Joshua told the people to do. That is how Jesus lived his entire life. And we come to the last word. Choose this day whom you will serve. An important lesson we need to learn, and unfortunately so many people never do, is that our choices can't be just about me. Our choices can't be just about what I want and what I can get out of my life. Jesus reminds us that we are called to be servants. Jesus is the greatest servant the world has ever seen. Jesus is the one on the night he knows he's going to be betrayed, arrested, killed, and all of his friends will run away. He is the one who washes their feet and takes upon himself the job of a lowly servant. Jesus is the one, when his disciples are arguing over who's the greatest, reminds them that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life to redeem many. And Jesus is the one who told those disciples who were constantly arguing about themselves, 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 that if you want to be great, you must be the servant of all. As God's people, we need to remember that Joshua told the people, after he'd asked them, whom will you serve? He gave them his answer. He says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This verse hangs at the Bulgren's house on the wall, a constant reminder of how we are called to choose. Choose this day whom you will serve. Powerful words, powerful question, powerful command to us. And may we all answer just like Joshua, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. At this time, as the lights come up, I would invite the members of our church council who are here at this service to please come forward as we install them, and we thank them for their commitment. I know we do have a few members of the council here at this service. Please come forward. Now I'm going to give you a microphone if you'd just like to face the congregation and just tell them your name and how you are serving in the council.
I am Carrie Foytz, and I am president.
I'm Peg Lottie, and I'm chairman of the worship planning team.
I'm Alyssa Burgos, and I am the council secretary.
I'm Kelly Klug, and I'm the chair for the outreach program.
Thank you. If you can turn and face me, please.